What Rashi is doing here is right outside of the framework of that sugi in Avodah Zorah.
Yeah.
And the question is, why does Rashi do it? But what Rashi is doing here is right outside of that and talking about there being an issur in selling an animal to a goy, behem agaso, because you're removing it from the halachot of Shabbos. So when it makes us think two ways about halachot. So normally, halachot are attached to an object when the object gets a certain shame. So if you decide this person is a kohen, so now a whole batch of halachas attached to him, right? You don't have to go into each one of them. If he's a kohen, then all these halachas apply. This person's a woman, all these halachas apply. This animal is a bechor, once you've decided the shame, and the whole art of halacha is to determine the shame. What is the halachic definition of this particular object? Because once you have that halachic definition, there's no debate around which halachas do and which halachas don't. It's all then very, very clear. It's just about defining.
Every animal. He's talking about an animal with a firstborn.
No. Here he's talking about every animal.
Any animal.
Here he's saying any animal. Selling it, like the Gemara and Avodah Zorah says, the Mishnah there, any animal. Selling an animal to a goy is a problem.
So then your question, can you sell food?
Right, so then in that case, what can you sell to a goy? Which is what the Netziva asks, particularly with respect to tzitzis and a bayit, where it's quite clear that you've got to put a mezuzah on a house, you've got to put tzitzis on clothes, you can't live in the house without it, and what does that do? So what I want you to understand in the Rashi is, firstly, the general principle that once halachot apply to something, those halachot create kedusha. It's not necessarily the other way around. All the halachot, it's the halachas that make us Jewish. What makes us Jewish? The halachas that govern us. Take those halachas away and all we have is genetic material that is Jewish. That's not what makes us Jewish. Yes, the fact that we have a Jewish mother, that means that those halachot apply to us. But it's the halachot that really, it's they that separate us. When you're talking, David, about Kedusha being something that separates you, you're separated by halacha. That's what makes you separate. That's what makes you different. And these animals are not allowed to work on Shabbos. So Hilchas Shabbos applies to them. Once you sell them, Hilchas Shabbos no longer applies to them. So they've been reduced. The level of Kedusha has been reduced. That's what Rashi says.
There's a little bit of a difference between what the Netziv brings up in this case, though, right? I mean, like when we talk about tefillin and mezuzah, those are asays, mitzvot asay, that really you're actually creating and adding Kedusha onto something. And we're questioning that maybe they will breach a lota asay also.
Yeah, so I think you're onto something important. It's not just the asay and the lota asay. I think that there's a difference. The Netziv goes into some lomdus about it, but I don't know if that's even necessary, because at the end of the day, it says, what does it say in the Torah? Ato v'avdecho v'amasecho v'hemtecho asher b'shorecho. So the behemoth is mentioned as something that has to be shovet on Shabbos. And almost as if it has to be shown on Shabbos. It's a very strange thing. It doesn't say, and your house has to have a mezuzah. If you have a house, you must put a mezuzah on it. And you can't live in it without that. It's all on you. It's not on the house. And the same with tzitzis. But the wording of Hilchas Shabbos legabi the Shvitas Behema really is the Shvitas Behema. The Behema has to rest. It's not just that you're not allowed to work the Behema. The Behema has to rest on Shabbos. There's actually a Hilchas Shabbos actually attaches to the Behema.
It's the life form specifically, right?
Yes,
and
totally.
You can't say the same about a car.
No, it's got to be something that is living. Because the idea of Shvita doesn't really apply. Yeah. So then there are all sorts of Shabbos about a car and a business and all sorts of things like that. But this idea of Shvita to Behema, that's a Behema specifically. So Rashi is bringing up the idea that when you take that Behema outside of a category of halachot, you're actually reducing a level of Kedusha, which becomes really interesting. So that's how Rashi learns, different from everybody else. There are three things I mentioned.
Just on the Knas itself. But maybe the knas is, it's one of those things we ask these questions about circumventing halachas, like chometz on Pesach. So we sell the chometz to the goy, we don't have to worry about chometz on Pesach and a shmita, all those, So there could be the same activity going on with the bechor. He's trying to get out of the bechor, So he's selling the bechor to the goy to get out of the bechor, then buys it back the day later, and he saves himself.
Definitely so.
But then it's not like before that comes into play, the nature of actually having an animal.
Yeah, but even the Gemara right away gets into that. That's definitely part of it. But because of that, but with that alone, you could learn like Tosfot that the issue is taking him out of kedushat bechor.
Right.
That's a simple way of learning it. You're taking him out of kedushat bechor. Why does Rashi even have to come onto the Shmira Shabbos thing is not clear. But
why all animals, not just your case with an animal with the bechor? Rashi says.
So that's because the Mishnah said, because the Mishnah says in Avodah Zarah you can't sell a behemah gazel to a goy. It's just the Gemara there gives different reasons, right. And Rashi is suggesting that the Tana here, when he says afal pi she'eino rashai, is not talking about the reasons given in Gemara Avodah Zarah and Daf Tesvav. It's a different reason, which is you're taking him out of Hilcha Shabbos.
But here is Rashi saying any animal.
Yes.
So,
and you're right. And whereas what Uriel is saying is tafka about a bechor, and that's what Tosfos comes on to, and that's what we'll see in the Gemara. Is certainly the intention of the Gemara to avoid that. So that's the first thing from Rashi.
But I don't understand the Gemara itself. It seems to be like contradictory because in the first case it says kol hani gamali itzrichid itana lokeach havah minushum dekamaisi lebekdush. It means like the default position is that there would be zero kedusha on this thing. And when there would be kedusha on it, and when you bring it, when you elevate it, the chachamim come along and say like there's no kedusha on it. So the default position seems to be there is kedusha, and they say no, because we'll give you a prize. You've bought it into, you've elevated it, so now we're going to say there's no kedusha on it.
No, it's just that we don't cancel him. It's just so you've bought this animal. If you would have said, why don't I have to give it to the Kohen? We should say, I should have to give it to the Kohen nevertheless. No, we don't impose that on you. Midoraisa, you don't have to give it to the Kohen. And we're not imposing a Midrabonin and saying that Midrabonin, the Kohen, has a right to it. Because at the end of the day, you've done nothing wrong. So there's no reason to do that. So the only reason to force you to give it to the Kohen would be to so that you don't use this as a shortcut to get out of Bechor. But yeah, you're not using it as a shortcut. On the contrary, you're bringing it into Kedusha. So with Tosfos, as you'll see when we get into the Gemara, it's all quite smooth. With Rashi bringing in Hilchos Shabbos into it, it's incredibly strange. But let's leave that and we'll see whether it becomes clear further on. Then Rashi goes on, Amishtatef lo shenotnim ma'ot ben shnehem v'konim behema. Two, they put money in together and they buy an animal together, which is a little bit different as a matter of interest from the way Rabbeinu Gershom learns it, because Rabbeinu Gershom says, Hamishtatef lo, on the left-hand side, you should have Rabbeinu Gershom, o mi shenoten l'ovid kochovim chatzi chamoro b'shutfut. It's interesting that they give a different example of it. You've got Rabbeinu Gershom right on the left-hand side in the small... In the small letters, you might have it on the right-hand side in your edition. And so Rabbeinu Gershom says, you give away half your animal. You own an animal, you give away half of it to the goy. It should be.
I didn't bring my glasses this week.
So. Okay. It's pretty small. But Rashi says you put money in together, and from the joint fund, you buy an animal. I'm not sure if there's a difference between those two. A non-Jew has a chamora. V'Yisrael mekabla, and the Jew manages it. Shiyu cholkim bivladot, and the deal is I'll take care of the animal and we'll share the calves. Aval gufa chamora l'ovid kachavim, but the actual chamora that belongs to the ovid kachavim. Potu mina bechora, im oto ubar shekana mina ovid kachavim or shemachal ovid kachavim bechoru. In the event that ubar turns out to be a bachor, says Rashi, eno kadosh. Why? Ho'il v'yishchelik l'oved kochavim bo o b'imo. Because an oved kochavim has a piece either of the mother or of the baby, there is no kedusha. So what I want to look at over here is, and what if the goy didn't have a piece of it, then what would the din be?
Kodesh.
It would be kodesh.
Yeah.
So we see in Rashi here that the Peter Chamor is not just about a monetary obligation to give it to the Kohen. That just as there is Kedusha in a Bechor Behema Tahira, there is a form of Kedusha, even in a Peter Chamor. It's not the same Kedusha because what happens to the Bechor Behema Tahira?
Okay.
He gets given to the Kohen, and then what happens? part of it gets brought on the base on the Mizbech. That, of course, can't happen with a Bechor Behemoth Tameah, with a Petach Hamor. That wouldn't happen. But there's still some Kedusha. What would the Nafkimina be? Who cares if there's Kedusha or not? At the end of the day, the din is you've got to give it to the Kohen. Why is it important to say Enoch Kadosh? He doesn't say Enoch Chayev Pidya. He says Enoch Kadosh. It doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. What would that be relevant for? Are you allowed to have Hanor from it before? Until you do the Pidyon, are you allowed to have Hanor from it or not? So that is a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And it revolves around, if you'll have a look at the Mishnah on Daf Tesam with Aleph. Again, we'll go into it in detail when we get there, but just to understand one piece of it. We're talking about cases where it's not clear if it's a Bechor or which one is the Bechor. An animal, it's a first birthing, and she has two males. And we're not sure which one is the Bechor and which one isn't. This is the one that I want to look at. Zacharu Nekeva. The mother gives birth to a male and a female calf. And we don't know which one was born first. He comes the next morning, he sees a male and a female calf. He doesn't know which one was born first. Mafrish tzle echad l'atzmo. He puts aside a sheep, the farmer does, but he doesn't give it to the kohen. He keeps it for himself. Why? Right, says Rashi. Mafrish tzle, so why does he have to be mafrish tzle altogether? Mafrish tzle mishum safik umafkia alav kudushat petach hamor. You see again in Rashi? You've got to do something with the Kedusha of the Petach Hamor. Where does the Kedusha go? So whichever, in case the male was the one, misofik, you take that Kedusha and you put it on the seh. V'hu la'atzmo, shehu ba'atzmo yochal atzle. Now the Kedusha has come off the Hamor and the seh may be eaten. V'lo yitnenu l'kohen, you don't have to give it to the Kohen. De Kohen havi motzi mechaveira v'olav haraya. The Kohen is a motzi, there's no proof. And this is now a mandatory issue. The Kohen says, I want my calf, I want my sheep. The farmer says, I'm not even sure that it belongs to you. And misofek, I don't have to give it to you. So we see already here that in the case of the Chamor, two completely separate pieces. There's a piece of Kedusha, which is like unusual Kedusha, because in this case, the Sofek Kedusha, you still have to do something to get rid of the Kedusha, but it doesn't go on to the lamb now that you can't use the lamb. The farmer himself can use the lamb, but it can't stay on the donkey. And you don't have to give the donkey to the Kohen. Giving the donkey to the Kohen is just a business transaction. That's just a question of ownership. Being mafrish a seh, putting a seh aside, that's part of a chiyuv in the Petach Hamor itself. Two different things. Number one is you have to set a lamb aside so that the Kedusha can transfer. And number two, you need to give the seh to a kohen. Two different things.
How do you turn it into dinei mamonos?
Well, it's dinei mamonos from the beginning.
Is it? It's a suffix Kedusha.
Let's go a little bit further. You'll see a Tosfos will make the timing more clear as to when these things happen. Look on the next page on Tesamud Beis near the top. Four lines from the top. Zacharu nekeva mafrish tzle. The kiven de la atzmohu lama lili frushi. Since he's keeping the lamb, why does he have to set it aside? What's the charade? If there's kedusha, how can he keep the lamb? If there's no kedusha, what's he doing with the lamb? Answers the Gemara. La afkui li isur emine. To take isur off the donkey. The donkey is osur until there's been a pidyon. Alma, so you see from here, kivan delo mifka, until you do that, until you do a pidyon, osu bahano, you can't use the donkey. Matnitin mani Rabbi Yehuda hi, which means the Mishnah must go like Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanya, Petach Hamor asur bahana'a, for Rabbi Shimon matir. So there we have a clear machloket Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to what is the status of the donkey before pidyon. Rabbi Yehuda says, osu bahano. You've actually got to do pidyon. And now does the seh become osu b'hano? No, it doesn't. That's one of these strange things. You've got to do pidyon. With the sipurna from last week, it's a little bit easier to understand that kamor is a completely unique feature, which is why ki ishalcha bincha. It's a completely unique kind of feature. It's not the normal hektish, because it was complete hektish, then you would transfer it to the seh, and then the seh would have kedusha. And yet it is somewhat hektish, because if you don't transfer it to the seh, you can't have anor from the kamor. So it has some kind of kedusha, and you need the seh. So how is Rashi learning the Mishnah now? When Rashi says, because a goy has some kedusha, he's learning Rabbi Yehuda, because the goy has a share in it, there's no kedusha. And since there's no kedusha, you don't have to do anything more than that. What forces Rashi to learn that way? Why doesn't Rashi just learn, you don't have to pay the kohen? Why doesn't he just learn like Rabbi Shimon?
Because if it was mamonos, you probably have to pay your share. If it was just a pure din mamonos, why wouldn't you have to give
Why wouldn't you have to give to him at all? Yeah. Why wouldn't you have to give to him at all? So look a little bit further in the under Fudamit Ayud Aleph Amud Aleph. If you can see, it's about a third of the way down. Ravina Kashile, towards the end of the line, about a third of the way down. And after Yudalef Amudalef, Ravina Kashile. You see that? At the end of the line. You got that? Ravina Kashile. Ravina had a problem. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda. Firstly, when there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we generally go like Rabbi Yehuda. Vesatam lantana ka Rabbi Yehuda. And the Tana of the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. How do we know that? Because the Tana of the Mishnah told us that if you have a sofik, a zohar, and a keva, you've got to set aside a set. Va'at amrit halacha ka Rabbi Shimon. You say halacha like Rabbi Shimon. We don't have to go into this, but Ravina comes along and makes it very clear. Firstly, but when there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we go like Rabbi Yehuda. Secondly, the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rashi, Ravina kashile. Can you see that, Rashi? Amai mukmat lameimra deresh lakish ka Rabbi Shimon. Why have you just made Reish Lakish's statement according to Rabbi Shimon? Hakayim alanda Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda v'Eiruvin. In Eiruvin, we've established that Rabbi Yehuda usually takes preference. V'satam lantana dematitin k'Rabbi Yehuda de'asal lepetach hamor bahana diktani mafrish tle lafkui leisur. The fact that it's also bahano means the Tana paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Mishnah is generally follow the same kind of tracks as Rashi. The Chachomim of these Mishnayos clearly hold like Rabbi Yehuda on this issue. We'll see, not on all issues, but on this issue, clearly holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what's beautiful about this is there's a lot of discussion in the Achronim and everything. What forces Rashi to say this? Why must you say, because there's a goy there, ain't no kodesh? Just say, because there's a goy there, you don't have to be poyder, you don't have to give it to the kohen. What's this ain't no kodesh? Why is he? And all sorts of reasons that are given as to why it is. But I'll show you the Vilna Gaon on this. And the Vilna Gaon is somebody you'll get to know very well as we work through these Gemaras. Just take these and hold on to them for next week as well. So look at the lower piece. Shulchan Aruch from Shin Chof Aleph Seif Ches, the first part of the Shulchan Aruch. Petach Hamor Asur Bahana Ad Sheyifte. The bottom paragraph of the Shulchan Aruch, you see clearly Petach Hamor is also Bahana. The Shulchan Aruch clearly paskins like Rabbi Shimon. And like Rabbi Yehuda. And says the Vilna Gaon at the bottom, Petach Ki Rabbi Yehuda, that Ravina Kashile is the source of the Shulchan Aruch according to the Vilna Gaon for paskening that way, and that's why Rashi goes that way. It's clear from the Gemara on Daf Yud Aleph from Ravina that the Baal HaMishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda in this matter. Firstly, it's the halacha, so that we don't know, not every Mishnah is lahalacha, but the first thing is it's lahalacha, and secondly, it's clear, Ravina makes it very clear that the Baal HaMishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is an inherent kedusha in the Petach Hamor. And so Rashi brings it in right here and says, but if a goy has part of it, we don't have the kedusha. And the pastor's for the reason that you said last week, that kedusha falls on a full thing. If it's about mominous, then you can say, I have a share, so my share belongs to the kohen. We each have 50%. The bechor is worth $100. So I owe $50 worth of either cash or a share to the kohen. It's easy to split. When it's mominous, you can split it up. It's not difficult. But kedusha is integral. Kedusha doesn't split. So kedusha either falls onto the animal or doesn't fall onto the animal. If we're dealing with kedusha, then there's no way that you can be chayev if a goy is involved. And that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns.
We have to see where the source is for the kedusha of Petach Hamor.
Yes, so we'll see all that.
Just don't support it.
In what way?
Well, I haven't looked at all the psukim, but just in the first psukim, it discusses that Peter Rechem is for Hashem.
Right.
And then it comes to the Peter Chamor, so the either you can poide or you have to varafta.
Right.
Now, those are the two options. It's not for Hashem, so it's not.
So it doesn't seem as if it's for Hashem.
There's a halacha, okay. There's dinim, but there's no possibility of it ever going to Hashem, ever going onto the Mizbeh. So
what does this Kedusha even mean? What does this Kedusha even mean?
You're right.
What's the Isur Banah? Just because the Kohen has ownership in it?
Just to avoid.
That's also what the Tosafot said. If you don't want to give it to the Kohen, give it to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's then you can't have it.
Because the Kohen owns it. Yeah. The thing is, the Kohen doesn't own it until Hafrosha. If we look at the Yud Aleph and with Aleph, I know I'm throwing out a lot of different things at you, but then they'll all come together as we learn through it. Somebody just gave me the most wonderful book written by a, do you know the man called Uri Brilliant? Have you come across this guy? A young man. He's got an app. I think he's a professional app developer, I'm not sure. But he's a big Talmud Chacham, a young man. And he does the Daf Yomi on the app in, I think, 10 minutes. To 9 or 10 minutes, he does the Daf Yomi. And it's brilliant. His name is brilliant, and it's brilliant. He doesn't read through the entire piece, but he gives you the whole structure and what it says and what it covers. And in 10 minutes, he gives you the Daf. And he's just published a book, the first Daf of every Masechta, to demonstrate that the first dach is the key to the entire Masechta. Wow. That it's not, it's absolutely, and he takes the first dach of every Masechta and he shows how all the Yesodas are there. So it's interesting that I'm finding, as we're busy on this first dach, and I'm taking you all over the place, so we're getting right into the whole Perek, at least, if not the whole Masechta, we're getting into the whole Perek, just in order to understand what's on the first dach, which is interesting. So if you look at Tosfos on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the second Tosfos, and four lines into the Tosfos. V'chad parikle, this is still talking about a Petach Hamor, and when you poide this Petach Hamor, mevorech al pidyon Petach Hamor, you make a bracha. V'lo bishat netina l'kohen, not when you give it to the Kohen. D'me idne de'afreshe birushute de'kohen kai. Because the moment you set this lamb aside, the lamb becomes the Kohen's. The Chamor was never the Kohen's. That's a game which makes it hard. So what's the issue? The Chamor was never the Kohen's. The Seh becomes the Kohen's the moment you set it aside.
This is the Suffolk.
No, even a real one, a regular one. So the Chamor was never belonged to the Kohen. There's just a din. You've got to be poide the Chamor with a Seh. And the Seh then belongs to the Kohen. The moment you set the Seh aside, that Seh belongs to the Kohen. But the Chamor never belonged to the Kohen. He has no rights in the Kohen. But what is the Isra Hano?
But a regular a Bechor, there's no suffix on. You can't be poeded that Kedusha onto a Seh to give to the Kohen, right? You have to give
yes,
it.
Yes,
oh,
correct.
You can.
No, correct.
Because
the Kohen there has ownership of the Bechor. Yeah. But not so with the Chamor. The Kohen himself has no ownership on that. So I want you, on the piece that I printed out for you, I want you to look at a few things, because it's beautiful and it's very clear. And this all just gives us a little bit of framework to get into the Masechta then and to have something with which to work. So at the top, Shulchan Aruch, this is all Shin Chof Aleph. So I've taken out for you Seif Vov and Seif Ches. Seif Vov is, Miyad kishifrish hatzleet tachat petech hamor, chazar hapetech hamor chulin, says the Shulchan Aruch. It becomes chulin when you've set the seh aside. So what was it before? Kodesh. So we're seeing the Shulchan Aruch is going all the way consistently that this chamor has some level of kedusha. Afilu kodem shenatano lakohen. Even before you've given it to the kohen, the moment you've set the lamb aside, the kohen, the chamor is chulin umutzel lehenot bo. V'imet lo yikaver, if it dies, you don't have to bury it. V'akohen zacha b'seh miyad v'hu b'achrayito. The kohen immediately has ownership of the seh. She'imet b'yad abalim kodem shenatano lakohen p'turim. If the lamb now dies before you hand it over to the kohen, you don't have to find another lamb for the kohen. The kohen's lamb died. That's his. It's his lamb. It's not your lamb. Lefichach miyad kishemafrisho mevarech asher kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al pidyon petach hamor. Says the shach lefichach miyad ve'en lamtin ad sheyiten al pidyon liyad hakohen da hapadui hu me'achshav. Based on the Tosfot. So with the Gemara, you've got Tosfot brought down into halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Look at the Taz. Mevarech asher kedishanu b'frisha hiksha. Says the Taz, the Prisha asks the following question. Lama lo mevarachin gam ana netinat b'chor behema tohir l'kohen kamo b'fidyon petach hamor u'v'pidyon b'chor adam. We make a brocha for a petach hamor, you make a brocha for a b'chor adam. You don't make a brocha for a b'chor behema tohir. Interesting. The Tirets, the Prisha answers.
There shouldn't be a brocha, right?
There isn't a brocha.
I'm saying there shouldn't be a brocha. Why? The story is there shouldn't be a brocha.
Why? It's a mitzvah.
Because it was already, it came out of the...
Oh, it says, the Eim Mevarech Ela Kashinisha B'yod Mimasha Yo Kodesh V'noisim Midi Achlini Tachtov. The mitzvah is when what you have, you still have, and you're giving something else away in its place. You're giving money in the case of the Bechor Odom, and you're giving a seh in the case of the Petach Hamor, and you've still got the original. It says the Taz, that's not enough for me. The mikol makom lama lo yivarech al mitzvah demali bikach shelo nishar biyado kivan the mikol makom mekayim mitzvah Hashem baruch hu. At the end of the day, you're still doing a mitzvah. You're being mekayim a mitzvah. And then he goes on to an explanation, which I think is really what the prisha means. But he explains it more in more detail. V'nirali de'en shayach brocho ela b'mashe oseh ha'adam mishelo. You make a brocha when you do a mitzvah with your own stuff. You do a mitzvah with somebody else's thing, you don't make a brocha. You use somebody else's lulav, you don't make a brocha. You've got to make it your own first. You've got to, if it's got to be yours to make a brocha, certainly this mitzvah. Al zeh mevarech shezocha lasot mishelo ratzon hamakom baruch hu, that Hashem enabled you to do, using your own assets to do a mitzvah, that's what you make the brocha on. It's a big, it's a chiddush, isn't it? Ma she'en kim bevechor de'me'olam lo haya li Yisrael zchut bo. So this is the important part that I wanted to show you again, to distinguish between petach hamor and bechor behema tmeya. Ech bechor behema tmeya tohiro lo hala Yisrael zchut bo. The mishen olad hu begaza derachmana. The moment it's born, it belongs to Hashem. V'havu ki'ilu lo nolad lo. It's as if you never had it. It's as if that animal was born in the Kohen's house. It happens to have been born on your property, but it's not your Bechor. It's as if the Torah gave it to him from the Parah Bekach. K'mosh k'tav kol peter rechem lihu. Alkein en shayach levarech ki yu eno ose klumi mamano. You're not doing anything. You're just giving the Kohen what belongs to the Kohen. What is there? What are you doing? So the Taz makes a difference between Petach Hamor and Bechor Odom on the one hand and Bechor Behema Tohira on the other hand, that only in Petach Hamor and Bechor Odom are you actually having to give money away, you're having to make some sacrifice. In the case of a Petach of a Bechor, where you're giving the Bechor away, yes, but it was never yours, is the way to look at it.
What about the Tovas Hanor?
The Tovas Hanor is yours, but you've got to give it to somebody. No, because you've got to give it to somebody. You're not.
Is it the Mafreya, the coin that you chose? Was it Kodesh
Jinn? I don't think that, maybe. Oh. That would be interesting. Kind of a Breira thing, that kind of thing. Yeah, maybe that it belongs to him. But it doesn't. The main thing is, he wants to say, is that it's not costing you anything. You're not giving away anything that was yours. Tovus Hanor you've got, and that you have the rights to, but there's no mitzvah in the Tovus Hanor. There's no mitzvah in choosing one grain over another. There's no bracha on the Tovus Hanor.
Can't marry a woman with that. No. Can you marry a woman with that?
With the tevis, even if there is, there's still no mitzvah in the tevis. What, what mitzvah are you doing in the tevis or not? You've got to give it to a coin. That's a mitzvah.
There's no guarantee.
But there's no, yes, but it's not a, but there's no mitzvah.
There's no definite.
There's value in it, but there's no mitzvah in it.
Your coin,
yeah, with them. Okay, so what have we got so far? Let's summarize for next time. So we've got in the Rashi a big chiddush in terms of what is the Eino Rashai. It's Rashi says you're removing it from Kedusha. What type of Kedusha? The halachas of Shabbos that apply to an animal, and that's what you're not allowed to do. That's an aside thing. It's not called to the Mishnah, but the Mishnah mentions it. The second thing we've learned is that Rashi clearly learns that a Petach Hamor has some Kedusha, even though we would have assumed not so. It does have some Kedusha. We found it's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And Ravina says very clearly that the Mishnah on Daf Tes, and we assume the same applies here, holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Petach Hamor has some Kedusha. What that Kedusha is difficult to understand because it doesn't get transferred to the Seh, but yet without transferring it to the Seh, the Hamor remains also Ba'anon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so we'll have to unravel that a little bit further. And then there's a third piece that Rashi's Mechadesh, which I'll touch on next week, Yom Yitzhak Hashem, and then get into Tosfos. I think the two Tosfos and we'll focus on is the first and the third. And then we'll have the Mishnah clear, and we can get into the Gemara.
Might also be interesting to look at is the concept of the Chamor. Is it Oymed la Arufa? And in order to be moiti from that reality, that chazoka, you do a pidyon? Or is the pidyon is what stands on it in the beginning, and then as a knas for not doing the pidyon, then you have to go.
You have to
and
do that. So if you're interested in that, I mean, we can do it here as well, or you can have a look at it, or we can do it together if you want to. Is the minchas chinuch mitzvah chaf gimel sif beis goes into that whole thing, and it's also totally in the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon.
Okay.
Okay, good. Can we kick this one? You can keep that here, but you might want to bring it back next week. I'm not sure, but you might want to. So there was a suggestion that we should learn for an hour.